Why do I conduct my show on this manner? Mondo!
Sweet mother of God, what is the holdup?
Eleanor!
Once again, something wonderful in my life has been turned into a giant crap fest.
Mondo!
Got a little bit more cock for you here.
Eleanor!
Bowtie boy got the big snaggeroonie.
Mondo!
Oh, six of my nipples are tingling.
Eleanor!
See why America loves him so much?
Mondo!
I'd like to smash you in the face with my shillelagh.
Eleanor!
I have no idea what's going on.
Mondo!
He was lying.
He said he never tells a lie.
He was lying when he said that.
Eleanor!
I want a cup.
Well, could you spell that?
C-U-P. I want to see you. Oh, my God.
I know nothing. Nothing.
Stomach batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
For God's sake, strap yourself down.
That's right. It's the show your bosses don't want you to listen to. The show that's going to tell you the truth about what's going on in the workplace. So wake the hell up. It's the Cup of Joe radio show. I am your not-so-humble host, Joe Vecchio, the voice of the working man, the voice of the radical middle, and the voice of those who have been unvoiced by the anti-worker policies of the Bush administration and its corporate allies. Our engineer, Sock Puppet Sam, is here!
Hello, I'm good, Joe.
And we've got a lot of stuff to talk about, but first, Sam, give us the URL for the site.
That's cupojoe.blogspot.com.
And the email address.
joevec@bellsouth.net.
All right, I want to welcome all of my fans listening in at the White Rose Society. That's whiterosesociety.org. My good friend Ben Birch hosting my archives there. And, of course, all my fans at rantsradio.com listening in on Thursdays and Sundays. All right, how are you? It is Thursday, 4:49 p.m. This is Joe here with Ravishing Rick. How you doing, Rick?
I'm ravishing and rambling as ever.
Ravishing and rambling. You don't like that nickname, do you?
Oh, I don't mind ravishing. Ravishing. I don't know if my wife would agree.
Oh, I'm sure she would. Well, my wife thinks I'm ravishing.
Well,
I don't think
she, as she should, right. Joe. As she should.
And so should your wife. Think you're rambling. We're just kind of relaxing here for a minute because I've been busy with a whole bunch of stuff, and you've been busy with the North Fulton Democrats.
I have.
And you said they had a meeting with the ACLU.
We did. We went over a lot of the bills that are before the Georgia session.
Mm-hmm.
The interesting thing that's happening in the Georgia session right now is what the speaker has done with these things called hawks. Have you heard of that?
Yeah, I've heard of that, but why don't you go ahead and tell everybody?
Well, the hawks are basically roving members of committees who, if the committee is not voting the way the speaker wants them to vote, they go into committee and swing the vote in the favor of whatever it is he wants.
Right.
And this has never been done anywhere else. This is the first time. I'm sure they're testing the waters here in Georgia to see if they could do it somewhere else. But it's just another one of those strong-armed Republican tactics that's taking over everywhere.
Well, we've been dealing with that because in addition with the work that I'm doing for the DeKalb County Democratic Party, I'm also doing work for as of yet unnamed, we're still fighting over the name, election reform organization whose purpose is to return Georgia to have paper ballots. And one of the things they've been doing is teaching us about being lobbyists. And I'm not, you know, I've never done anything like that before, but apparently you don't have to be a credentialed lobbyist to go down to the Capitol. Anybody can go down there and lobby state legislatures, state representatives, and stuff like that. But they're talking about the strong-arm tactics that the new Republican majority are putting in, forcing votes to the floor without a debate, and just putting in things in at the last minute, like the they want to get rid of the part of the Georgia Constitution that separates church and state, basically, and they want to make like this a theocracy, or at least they want Christianity to be labeled as the official.
Well, paving the road for the faith-based initiatives and what are the school vouchers?
Well, yeah, well, that's just more ways of ripping off the taxpayers because, you know, the school vouchers are a way of destroying public education, which is what these people hate, and the faith-based initiative are just another way of funneling public money into these, you know, pseudo-cult so-called Christian organizations. I mean, it has, you know, that's what, you know, some of the people that I work with in the election reform, that's how they referred to the Christians, as cultists. And these people in particular, that's I kind of agree with that, because they are cultists. They act that way. They want a theocracy. They're not anti-government. They're anti-government secularism. They're anti-secular government. They want a Christian government, a Christian organization.
Well, that's the key thing, is the Christian thing. The trouble with the faith-based initiative is that if you allow it, then you have to allow all the religions to do it.
Well, no, not
even
really.
Islam.
But that's just the thing. They won't. When they say religion, you know exactly what religion they're talking about, and you know for a fact that they will, at best, give only grudging acknowledgement of other religions. But you know for a fact that, you know, you're not going to see Muslim schools pop up. This is all going to, you know, little mini Pat Robertson's, you know, Pat Robertson's mini-me's and Jerry Falwell's mini-me's. They'll all be getting, and it'll be our taxpayer money.
Well, see, the truth is they could get that money now, even without the faith-based initiative thing, if they'll just simply set up an organization that's outside of their church. Right, so they could have a Methodist-based organization or a Lutheran one or whatever.
Yeah, but then that would prevent them from proselytizing, which is what they want to do.
But they can't proselytize.
Yeah.
That's what they're
looking to do. And they're looking to use government power to, you know, and that's just the thing. I've talked about this before. One of the reasons why the Christian right became politically active is that President Jimmy Carter, and I wish to God I could remember which documentary I saw this on, but I saw it in the documentary, that Jimmy Carter was going to start investigating some of these people and start to hold them accountable, fraud and stuff like that, because as far as I'm concerned, it's all fraud. You know, how dare they claim to speak for God in the first place and to ask people for money, you know, for their causes, and then go out and establish kind of the pseudo-political organizations that whose purpose is the destruction of the separation of church and state. And Jimmy Carter was going to investigate them, and, you know, the Robertsons and the Falwells and all the Swaggarts, you know, they realized that the gravy train could be over, because that's what it is, a gravy train. If you're good enough, if you're good enough to memorize a few Bible verses and charismatic enough to sucker a few people into thinking that you're legitimate, you can make tons of dough. I mean, even after Jimmy Swaggart got found out for having an affair, he was still pulling in thousands of dollars a week.
Shall we change the nature of the show, Joe?
Oh, man.
Let's get us both out of debt.
I could. Hey, see the power of radio, ladies. I can't even do that.
Put your hands on your radio.
Yeah. You just
put
made
your
every...
hands on your television.
Reach back behind the television set and feel the power.
Feel the divine electricity,
as
of the Lord.
Robin Williams said. yeah, we are definitely in the wrong business. And you know, if I was a Republican operative, I can get money. You know, and this is what I was talking about before, and this is what I really want to talk about. And you only just heard about it, and you kind of sort of follow politics. Me, I read the blogs, and I read everything. But you're not going to see this on the New York Times. You're not going to see this in USA Today. You might hear about it on television from time to time, because the punditocracy is as always talking about themselves. But there's a guy named Jeff Gannon. Well, that's not his real name. His real name is Jeff Gluckman. And he worked for – well, basically, he's a Republican operative. He works for the Republican Party. And he was with an organization called Talon News, which was essentially two guys in a room somewhere. It wasn't a real news agency. However, he had White House credentials. And he got to go to press conferences and ask the Scott McClellan, the what's the word for it, the guy who answers the press conferences for Bush. But he got to answer the White House press guy. And he got to ask him questions about stuff. You know, taking time away from real journalists, although, to be fair, I doubt that there are any real journalists out there anymore. I mean, it's all you're either a propagandist shill for the Republicans, or you're just a lazy scumbag looking to get the next story to enhance
your
career.
Well, there's still some journalists out there, Joe.
There's still a few, but they're all...
But you got to, like, see more.
You've got to dig hard.
There are some journalists out there, but they are not in the mainstream.
No, they're definitely not
part.
In the mainstream. That's what I'm talking about.
If you're reading all the magazines, and you're getting back there, and you're reading The New Yorker and the Atlantic Monthly, and you're reading all of those, then maybe you're getting it.
Mm-hmm. Keep talking. That was the signal. I was giving you the signal to keep talking so I can load up this website here.
So what website are we going to, Joe?
We're going to Atrios because he's been following this. He and Daily Coast have been following this. And he summarizes the entire – let me read to you this letter. This is from Senator Frank Lautenberg. I forget which state he's a senator, but he's a senator, and he wrote a letter to Scott McClellan, and he writes, "Dear Mr. McClellan, I am writing to request that you immediately release documents to my office relating to the White House press credentials of James D. Guckert, excuse me, Guckert, not Gluckman, a.k.a. Jeff Gannon." Same thing.
I like Gluckman better.
Yeah, anything with a guck in the name of it or uck is a good one. A.k.a. Jeff Gannon. I guess like Michael Wiener changed his name to Michael Savage. And I was it Wiener or Weiner? I couldn't figure that one out.
Well, he probably whines a lot, but he's still a Wiener.
Either way, yeah. But anyway, he said, specifically, I'm seeking documentation related to the question of which name Mr. Guckert/Gannon used when applying for credentials and which name was on the official White House press credentials he received. Additionally, I am seeking documents indicating whether Mr. Guckert/Gannon received a hard pass, which is a more permanent pass, or daily passes from your office. Despite your assertions to the contrary, at least one White House reporter has revealed that Mr. Guckert/Gannon appeared to have hard pass credentials. As you may know, Mr. Gannon was denied a congressional press pass because he could not show that he wrote for a valid news agency. Given the fact that he was denied congressional credentials, I seek your explanation of how Mr. Gannon passed the muster for White House press credentials. I have led in the effort in the Senate to investigate a number of instances of troubling propaganda efforts by this administration. The Government Accountability Office has agreed to my request to investigate various attempts at media manipulation, fake television news stories touting both the new Medicare law and the No Child Left Behind education program, a study rating individual journalists on their favorability to Republican education policies, and the payment to journalists like Armstrong Williams. Since the Armstrong Williams controversy became public, administration payments to two other journalists, Maggie Gallagher and Michael McManus, have come to light. Given the backdrop of these scandals, coupled with Mr. Guckert/Gannon's role in recent White House press briefings and press conferences, it is understandable that the circumstances of Mr. Gannon's credentiality have raised suspicion. Thank you for your cooperation.
Is this the tip of the iceberg or what?
No, it's not.
And it's got to be the tip.
No, it's not. No, you know,
it's got to go real deep.
You know what? When I hear stuff like that, no offense, because I realize that you may or may not have been aware, but this is kind of like when they keep saying, "Oh, Iraq is going to turn the corner." When the neocons say, "Oh, Iraq is going to turn the corner," you know, these are not turning the corner because most people aren't paying attention, and you're not hearing about this on the television news, which is where most people are getting their news. And even the people who go on Meet the Press or whatever, stuff like that, most people aren't watching that. They're watching CBS or NBC or ABC. They're certainly not going to hear about it from Fox, and they're not going to hear about it from CNN unless it's to the point where they're blaming left-wing bloggers for shit, which is what they're doing. They're claiming that this Guckert guy had his life threatened by left-wing bloggers, which is ridiculous to begin with. So no, it's not turning the corner. You know, what's going to turn a corner is when you really...
What are they going to do? Get in with a poison pen?
Well, I think when you're talking about really turning a corner, you're going to turn a corner when you literally see riots in the streets, when you see soup lines, when the unemployment rate, the real unemployment rate, not the one they keep touting, which basically does not count the people who have just stopped looking for work and are no longer counted on the rolls, when the real unemployment rate raises to like 20 or 30%. And when all of the money in this country gets sucked up to the top and nobody has enough money for anything, then you'll see the corner start turning. And we're seeing the beginnings of it. I mean, Governor Dean becoming the head of the DNC, which will officially happen hopefully next week. There's no other competitors.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, well, there's no other competitors, so he's going to be in there. That's going to help lay the foundation of where the Democratic National Committee is going to go into the future. But it's going to take a long time, man. And I keep railing about this because I railed about it against it last week or last show, where I said, look, you know, we got to stop this. Oh, they're in for it now. Oh, they're going to, you know, in football terms, they take a 5-yard loss. This is like them taking a 5-yard loss. And then the next play, they're going to come around and drop an 80-yard bomb and score a touchdown. Because they're going to wreck Social Security, or at least they're going to make a real, real strong effort at it this time. And they may succeed because they're so good at subterfuge that they can say they're not doing anything, but yet make changes and still affect what happens. And people like you and me are the ones that are going to be affected in the long run because we're not going to see any money. You know. But here's this is an example of their propaganda machine in action, of how good it is. here's this guy who is not a journalist in any way, shape, or the form. He's a friggin' Republican operative. And well, there's nothing wrong with being a Republican operative in and of itself. People like that should not be getting White House press passes.
What's interesting about that is it's almost like the way they ran their events for Bush during the pre-election.
Oh, yeah.
Where they
plant
people in the audience and have them ask the questions that the idiot could answer.
It is all controlled. And in fact, this guy Guckert was essential in helping get rid of Tom Daschle, making him lose the election, because he was working with his opponent, releasing classified information and stuff like that about Daschle to the opponent and getting it out there. Plus, he received some classified documents about the Valerie Plame affair that no one else got. You know?
That's interesting.
So this is such a big piece of shit. You know, this is such a big thing.
Is like Valerie Plame going to go away? Has it gone away?
It pretty much has.
It keeps hanging in there a little bit. I keep hearing a little news here, a little news there.
It bubbles kind of sort of to the surface here and there. Like, but this is such a huge, major thing. I mean, when you consider what happened with Nixon, right, and the fact that what Nixon did was nothing compared to what these guys are doing, and he got kicked out of office in disgrace. Then these guys are getting away with things that are just completely unbelievable. Even LBJ and pushing the Vietnam War would not have gotten away with the things that they're pulling on Iraq, the things that they're currently pulling on Social Security, they didn't have phony reporters asking whoever Lyndon Johnson's press secretary was loaded questions. They didn't have anybody like that, but that's what these guys are doing. It's all part of a huge propaganda machine.
What strikes me as odd is that the mainstream news media is not up in arms about this. It's their credibility that's at stake.
Well, they have no credibility. They're whores. Look, the people up there, they make lots and lots of money, and they're very, very ambitious. And they get, especially once they get into Washington, they get caught up in that whole culture of power play and back and forth and a little gossip back and forth among each other. And they've completely forgotten that there's other parts of the country out there. I mean, that's what the right wing used to complain about, that they have forgotten the heartland. But the truth of the matter is they've forgotten everybody. They've forgotten the working class on the left and on the right. And, you know,
they become their own class.
They become their own class. And they're not about to really pull the plug on what they're doing, because they're really worried about, you know, they're just worried about keeping their own place.
But still, let me pursue this a little bit, because, you know, when the New York Times had that fellow who was making up stories,
mm-hmm.
which is not a lot different
from Jason Blair.
All the other media jumped on him, on New York Times for that. There was like the cannibals eating their own.
Jason Blair, what Jason Blair did was fabricate a few stories or gave sources that didn't exist or manipulated what somebody said. And he admitted it and he got fired, you know, and all that. This guy Gannon is not going to get fired from anywhere. Some other right-wing think tank will pick him up and pay him lots of money, you know. And that's what's really going on. And meanwhile, the administration gets away with lie after lie after lie after lie after lie, and nobody's calling them on that.
That's what I mean, the tip of the iceberg. It just keeps getting bigger and deeper. It's not necessarily – if you're looking at the iceberg being scandal, it hasn't come to that. But if you're looking at it as saying, oh, there's now four, how many more are out there?
Well, we know –
how many more?
There are entire news agencies who are basically a propaganda machine. I mean, Fox News is nothing but propaganda. That's all it is. It's not news. Don't let anybody con you into thinking that it's in any way, shape, or form, quote-unquote, fair and balanced. It is propaganda. The things the administration done, the General Accounting Office, in fact, investigated and concluded that some of the administration's commercials touting their health care plan were misleading because they were pretending to be actual news stories, which they were not.
And now that plan was going to cost $450
billion.
Now it's going to cost $720 in some people's estimation, or $1.2 trillion in others.
You wonder why anybody believes anything these people say after a while.
Exactly. That calls for a heavy sigh from everybody.
And it's like you want to pull your hair out trying to get people to understand how serious this crap is. And the Gannon story is just one small part of all that's going on, but it kind of gets lost in the shuffle because every time something like this happens, some other thing comes up to divert attention from. Oh, look, there's Janet Jackson's titty. That got a lot more attention than the Valerie Plame affair. that got a lot more attention. Oh, look, there's the Super Bowl, or there's this and there's that. You know, oh, they held elections in Iraq. Now everything's over and everything's wonderful there. Meanwhile, what, about 60 people have been killed in the last 3 or 4 days in car bombs and stuff? I mean, come on, nothing's changed.
You know what's interesting? Have you seen this guy, this professor from the University of Colorado at Boulder? Will somebody or other, I can't remember his last name. He's a fiery, he teaches ethics, I'm sorry, not ethics, ethnic studies at the University
ethnic
of Colorado.
Or ethnic?
Ethnic.
Okay.
And I believe he's a Native American, and he has come out with some very strong views. I'd urge you to look him up.
Well, what are views? Give me some examples here. Don't go bringing
I'm trying to think of the whole.
See,
thing.
That's what you got to think about these things.
What
here.
He's talking about is his point of view is that the United States government, with their military partners, the companies, the military itself, are in the business of genocide.
Mm-hmm.
And what he talks about, the 100,000 that are never mentioned in Iraq that
right.
have died as a result of this, and how many others will die. He goes all the way back to when New York was settled by the Dutch.
Mm-hmm.
And the various massacres that took place, you know, they thought they traded it for a few beads and whatnot. Basically, they did, but the Indians thought they were giving them concessions to use the land, not take it. And when that was found out by the Dutch, they sent in the military and massacred the whole tribe.
Well, that's no surprise. I mean, that's what Europeans did.
So
I mean, when Columbus came here, he didn't come to the continent, but he came to the Bahamas and those stuff like that. One of the things he did was take people back into as slaves. I mean, what the hell is that shit?
And what he says is that if you support the businesses that are involved in this, if you do not oppose it, you are a part of it.
Mm.
And that's his message. And that's kind of true.
It's hard to not do it, I guess. Well, the thing about it is people get caught up in their own lives. I mean, people have so much to do. I mean, I'm looking for work, and I'm you know, even if it wasn't for my political stuff, I'd find other means to, you know, keep myself busy because I like to be busy. Even when I'm not working, I like to be busy. And a lot of people are like that. Their whole world is, you know, you grow up, you go to school, you work hard in school, you go to college, you get a good job, you get married, pump out a few more units, and the process repeats itself. That's life. That's all there is. You may see something on the news, but you just kind of dismiss it. You know, it's happening somewhere else. We don't really care about it. And when people do that, when people forget that they're part of something greater, like we liberals understand, and that's how liberalism got started. Then they realize that they have to take a part in all this, and have their say and do their thing, so that you know people like you know the Halliburtons of the world and the George Bushes of the world aren't allowed to just go out there and control your lives, which is what they're doing. Look, I'll say this straight out: I do not hate George W. Bush personally. Okay, I mean I despise everything that he and his people stands for. But if it came to the situation where he could be removed from power and he gets to go back to Austin, Texas and live a nice, long, rich, healthy life with all the money in the world, hey, I'm perfectly happy with that. More power to you, you know, even if he never gets punished. I just don't want him running my fucking life is all that is. And, you know, you get other people that say, well, we don't want no corporate bureaucrats running your life. Well, no, you know what? The corporate bureaucrats are much more accountable than you are. And if you have more control and if you pay more attention to what's going on, the corporate bureaucrats have a lot less, government bureaucrats have a lot less power over you. Meanwhile, we have corporate executive weasels that are running our lives.
There's another heavy side, Joe.
I do that a lot lately.
It is a scratch your head or
pull my hair out, man.
Followed by heavy sighs. It is a perplexing time. And I tell you what's interesting is that most people don't know what's really going on.
No,
there.
They don't.
And just to hear, I saw the ACLU, one of the lobbyists yesterday, talk about some of the bills that are going before the Georgia House and Senate. And it is scary what they want to do.
Oh, sure.
It is scary what they will do, but most people aren't even paying attention.
Right. Oh, I saw we were watching the local news, and I saw the Confederate flag people are back again trying to get the flag back. Don't these people have anything better to do with their lives? With all those real serious problems that are happening in this state, that's all these friggin' people can think about is their stupid flag. Fly it on your lawn if you like it so much. No one's saying you can't fly it at your house. I've never said that. They're perfectly welcome to do that. But I don't want it as a symbol, an official government symbol.
But isn't symbolism what the Republicans are all about? I mean, you think about the Confederate flag.
Yeah, but the Republicans were the ones that just screwed them over. You know, that's just the thing. They voted for Sonny Perdue because Sonny Perdue said, oh, I'll get that flag back for you. And, of course, once he gets in office, he maneuvers a way to keep it because they know if they put that flag back, Georgia's going to lose a ton of money.
Because they think that if they get the Ten Commandments on every courthouse step, that will be a better thing.
I wonder what they would do if they got all their stuff, if they got the Confederate flag back and they got the Ten Commandments and all the things that they wanted, and the world still was a fucked up place. What would they want next?
I don't know. They'd
because you
something.
Know something, the Ten Commandments on a wall somewhere is not going to change people.
Well, here's the interesting part about that bill. The interesting part about that bill is that if the law goes through and a particular county erects the Ten Commandments on their courthouse or wherever it puts it, and they get sued by the ACLU, right? The state will pay to their expenses lawsuit.
Is that what
and those lawsuits are not cheap.
Right.
They will pay for the dissemination of the materials, and they will pay for the lawsuits. The lawsuits can run $500,000 or more.
Mm-hmm.
And think how many counties. What do we have? 192 counties here.
And who gets paid? And who winds up paying for that? We do.
And we
and
pay
the same
for
thing
it.
with the thing in Cobb County, with the evolution thing. Yeah, it's not science, but you know they're afraid. And I've read articles where teachers are afraid to even teach it now because, you know, some moron will go up to them and say, oh, you can't teach that because it's against my religion. And you know you talked about the school voucher thing. One of the reasons they want school vouchers is because they're not looking to have kids go to better schools. They want kids to go to schools where they're going to be taught their religious values. They're going to be taught that the earth is 10,000 years old and that everybody else is an evil heathen Satanist for thinking otherwise. That's what they're going to teach. And, you know, science is about learning how things work and how things operate, how the world works. And if you try to go against that, if you try to just force your way in, like if you try to force a round hole in a square peg, eventually it's going to come back and bite you in the ass. Because science don't play no games. Science is not interested in our opinions. You know, that tsunami wasn't interested about all the little poor people out there. That was just a force of nature that wiped out an entire region. It was not interested in whether or not they believed that it was caused by, you know, an undersea god that was mad or an earthquake or natural. It just happened. And the best way we can deal with those situations is to try to learn about it. And the only way we can learn about it is to get knowledge about it. And you can't do that if you're teaching ideological stances.
Those people weren't Christian, Joe.
Well, I guess, well, that's, you know, that's just the thing.
That's their punishment, don't you know?
Before I get into more size, let's take a break. Our friends from BuzzFlash.com are back. We'll hear from them, and we'll have some more. Sam, play us out.
We'll be right back with more of the Tucker Joe Radio Show.
Welcome back to the BuzzFlash.com GOP Hypocrite of the Week. Oh, Condi, you had so many Bushevics rooting for you as you indignantly accused Barbara Boxer of attacking your integrity. But how many times has BuzzFlash told you that to defend integrity, you have to have some? And on that scale, you fall far short. Unbridled ambition, poise, the ability to tirelessly lie under pressure, and an unstinting loyalty to a man who already Peter principled beyond his abilities when he was just the keg guy at Yale. Yes, all of these you have in abundance. You are the first female Bush-made man in Kennebunkport political crime world parlance. But impugn your integrity? Don't think so, Condi. Not when you have none to impugn. We don't mean to get your dander up, but what have you done that's been a success? Name just one thing besides being a central participant in the lying that started a war that has killed tens of thousands of Iraqis, over 1,300 U.S. soldiers, and wounded countless others. Some in the neocon world would call that a success, or as Rumsfeld so inimitably noted, a catastrophic success. It is hypocritical to ask a person to respect your integrity when you are about 100 floor levels of competence in over your head. We look back and think, what if Al Gore had rightfully assumed the presidency, and boy, would the world be a better place. There sure would be a whole lot more people alive, and integrity and honesty would have been a hallmark of the White House, instead of calculated deception, cynicism, and sycophantic adulation. And that 9/11 thing. When you read the report in August of 2001 that was headlined that Al-Qaeda was planning on hijacking planes in the United States in the near future, and you and your Bushy boy did nothing? 3,000 people died because of your failure to try and prevent the deadly hijackings. So in light of all that, what is Barbara Boxer supposed to say to you? Thanks for the memories? Like all the other Bush appointees, you have reached your position because you defend the indefensible and stand by your man, no matter how absurd and transparent the lie. That's not integrity. That's being a suck-up without any moral scruples. Yeah, you've come a long way, baby, but you've had to stand atop a lot of body bags to get there. Back in March of 2004, you graced our site as the BuzzFlash GOP Hypocrite of the Week. Welcome back. It takes a special kind of hypocrisy to merit the honor again. Congratulations. Oh, and remember what we think you already know. Telling the truth in the Bush administration will get you in a whole lot of trouble. If the notion of ever becoming honest should strike you someday, you know, like a religious epiphany type of thing, we suggest you repress that notion in the same place you repress the images of the people who died for the lies you and Bush told America. Until next week, just remember our motto at BuzzFlash.com. So many Republican hypocrites, so little time. Catch up with you soon.
And we're back on the Cup of Joe radio show. I'm your not-so-humble host, Joe Vecchio, the voice of the working man, the voice of the radical middle, and the voice of those who have been unvoiced by the anti-worker policies of the Bush administration and its corporate allies. Once again, the URL for the site is cupojoe.blogspot.com, and the email address is joevec@bellsouth.net. And I'm here with Darth Rick. How you doing, Rick?
Darth Rick. I go from ravishing to rambling to Darth Rick.
That's because you're you're breathing in a mic like that. We've been hearing, I've been getting some comments about that from some email people. Who's that guy breathing into the mic? Tell him to stop breathing into the mic, for Christ's sake. So Darth Rick is here. Oh, God. But, you know, you had not heard that BuzzFlash thing before, have you?
I had not.
And they're pretty good, aren't they?
It's pretty to the point.
Yeah, they're going after Rice. And they talked about integrity. And, you know, we were discussing this earlier, and really these guys have no integrity, do they? I mean, the things that they do, I mean, the ends justify the means is just the tip of the iceberg. They really don't care. That it's really more like we're going to do what we damn well please, and anybody doesn't like it. It's like Goodfellas, you know? And I've discussed this before. You're familiar with Goodfellas, right? Martin Scorsese's great film. Now, you were aware that that was part of a kind of a trilogy of movies that he made. The first one was called Mean Streets, which I have not seen. All the same people, basically, were
in
it.
I know that.
And the second one was Goodfellas, which really was going to be named Wise Guys. But because that TV show, Wise Guy, was on, they didn't want to get it confused with that. And my wife is getting up. How you doing, honey? She's all right. She's tired. You shaking? You need some food? Yeah, she's okay. She's her blood sugar's a little low sometimes, so she starts shaking. And she's taking a break. Well, anyway, what was I saying?
Yeah, what was the third in the trilogy?
Casino.
Oh, okay.
And basically what they had was those people at different levels of monetary. And I always thought now, I think now anyway, Scorsese ought to make a fourth one. And that would be those same type of people running the U.S. government, because that's the next logical step. I mean, the casino guys, they were busy fighting the government, and so were the Goodfellas guys. They were fighting local cops, and they were fighting the government. Although they had the local cops on the take and stuff like that. But now you've got a situation where the same group of wise guys, the same kind of people, you know, that we can do whatever we want, and anybody says anything gets hit so hard they never say anything again, they're running the show in the government now. And so that would be a good movie. I don't know what you would call it, but... That's basically what's going on here. And they have absolutely no integrity. And it amazes me that people like Ms. Rice and Colin Powell, who is now retired, I guess, or doing whatever. Maybe he's got some other work for the right wing think tank. Who knows? Why they continue to support this overtly racist organization. I mean, they may put black people in certain positions, but they're doing everything they can to hurt them. And to hurt, you know, women, too, in particular. So I don't know where... What is wrong with Ms. Rice that she continues to support these people? Well, there's got to be some sort of divide there between, you know, intelligence and integrity or something like that, because she's a fairly well-educated person and obviously very intelligent. But how people like that can just do the things that they do day in and day out, it just boggles my mind. And how they live with themselves, I just don't know.
Is it no shame?
Well,
if you have no integrity, you certainly can't have a lot of shame about what you do.
I just don't know. I get the size again, you know, and you just can't imagine it. I mean, I've worked for places where I couldn't lie about certain things. I worked as a Nextel salesman for a while, and I like Nextel. They have good service. The radios were really, you know, really good. And, you know, obviously you're a salesman and your job is to make money for the company, and that's fine, but I could never get to that point where I could sell something to somebody who obviously didn't need it or couldn't afford it. You know, I mean, I was when someone came in, for example, if they wanted just like a phone service that didn't cost a lot and didn't have a lot of minutes, really Nextel didn't have anything for them, because that's not the type of service that they had. If, however, you used the phone a lot and you did a lot of traveling, a lot, Nextel had better plans than anybody else. And we had some guys come in, they were from Cleveland, and they worked a lot of contract jobs all over the country, long-term construction-type projects. And so they had their phones on the road all the time. And I think I don't know who they were with. I don't want to say anyone in particular, because I don't want to intentionally degrade one over the other. But the phone service that they had, the cell phone service that they had, was charging them $500 or $600 a month for roaming charges, because they were out of the state that they were living in. And Nextel didn't do that. Nextel doesn't charge roaming charges. At least they didn't when I was working. I'm sure they still don't. And in fact, if you're in, okay, say your phone is in Cleveland, okay, in that market, and you come down here to Atlanta, and you make a local call here in Atlanta from your cell phone, for most other services, in fact, for all other services, that would be considered a long-distance call, because you're outside of your area. Not only roaming charge, but it was considered the long distance. Not Nextel. Not only did they not have roaming charges, but they didn't have any call like that was considered to be a local call and doesn't affect your long distance minutes. So it was a very good plan for them, and they wound up going from spending $600 a month to something like $90 a month, and that was a flat rate for the service, basically. And they didn't really go over that. And they had the radios, too, and they had the unlimited radio, so they can talk to each other, which is who they talk to a lot.
But you wouldn't sell somebody up who couldn't afford it.
I wouldn't sell somebody who couldn't afford it, and I would try to find a plan that would work best for the person. And a lot of people, they really just want to have a phone for emergencies. You know, a lot of people are not interested in, you know, being the big business magnate on the phone all the time, blah, blah, blah. And naturally, you get teenagers who want to send text messages or do this and that, and that's one thing. But there were a lot of people out there who just, look, you know, if I'm out on the road and my car breaks down and I've got no way to reach somebody, I'd like to have a phone there so that I can call somebody. That makes sense. None of Nextel's plans would really work, because they didn't have a $15 or $20 or $30, even a $30 plan. I think they had, I think like $40 was their cheapest plan a month. And it's really not very good for someone who just wants to use it for that much. And I just couldn't bring myself to sell somebody something like that they really didn't need. I felt myself more as a customer service person than I did a hardcore salesman. And because of that, I wasn't as successful a salesman as I could have been. But with these guys, they really don't care. Their object is to sell you whatever they're trying to sell, and it doesn't matter if you want it, need it, or if it's going to hurt you, so long as they get the money. That's what they care about, and that's what they're all about.
And that's just like this administration.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what these people are doing. And you know, that's why they don't worry about, you know, well, let's pay this journalist to sell stories, like the Armstrong Williams guy. Let's pay him. Maggie Gallagher, let's pay her. Let's pay let's give White House credentials to this guy Gannon. Even though he's not a real journalist, he's just a little shill. And it's really, you know, and the Bush people, they're like the front men. That's the thing. The real people, the real powers behind the scene are the people like the Richard Mellon Scaves and what was it, Olson, the other foundation, all these people with millions and millions and millions of dollars who pump it in to this big propaganda machine. And they wouldn't be anywhere if they didn't have this machine out there just lying for them, because if people knew the truth about what was going on, they'd not only run screaming bloody, you know, screaming in agony from it or screaming in terror from it, they would
know the truth. The truth is out there.
They don't really get the truth.
This is not X-Files either, but the truth is out there.
But people don't want to listen.
No, it's out there, but they don't want to listen.
Type A faith. They wouldn't believe it if you put it right in front of their face. They wouldn't want to believe it. Or they would think it's a good thing what's going on. Is that what you're saying?
Well, no, I think that some of the things that are being done are so outrageous. They're so un-American in many ways that people say, well, that challenges who I am. It challenges my faith in my country, and it's too much of a challenge for me.
They've invested too much in believing in these guys, basically.
Yeah.
And because, you know, and they take advantage. The Bush people take advantage of people's faith. They take advantage of people's loyalty. You know, that's how the scary, you know, the scary stuff happens in Iraq, because people want to assume that the government is telling them something that's going to be for their own good, and they have difficulty recognizing the fact that they're doing something that's hurting their whole lives. And it's really part of the same kind of group of people like the Prescott Bushes, who were George W.'s grandfather, who was indicted twice for doing business with the Nazis during the war. Of course, that's how the Bush family got its money. They made it from the Nazis. That's how they got really rich anyway. And a lot of their political ties came from that. Henry Ford was a big fascist. There were a lot of fascists back then, and this is just the latest generation of them. They're always going to be around, and they're always going to believe that their money and their privilege makes them above the law and makes them better than everybody else. And they hate programs like Social Security, which is why they're trying to destroy it. And they hate any kind of public organization like public education. They hate that. They absolutely despise it. If you're not part of their group, you might as well not even exist. And I heard something the other day. I wasn't even aware of this. Now, the election reform group that I'm working with, they're having a meeting on Tuesday night. In fact, if you live in the Georgia area and you want to attend this, it's called Electronic Voting Issues and Actions. I'll give a free plug to this. It's going to be Tuesday, February 15th at 7:30 p.m. I'll make another announcement at the show. It's going to be at the Emory Law School, Gambrill Hall, Classroom 1C in Atlanta. You can go to defendersofdemocracy.com, which is the group that's hosting, or at least one of the two groups that are putting this together, although it's working also with the groups that I'm working with. But go to defendersofdemocracy.com and get more information about that. And this meeting on Tuesday, I'm going to be like the MC type of deal. I'll be introducing the different speakers and basically moderating how things go and keeping things moving. Because you know something, I go to these meetings with these guys and it's like herding cats. Me, the guy who will never shut up and telling these people to keep quiet and get to the point, because we always go off on these little tangents. But I'm going to be wearing a nice suit and a tie. And I asked the people who were going to be also speaking, said, listen, please dress nice, you know, suit and tie if you can. And one of the guys there said, I'm not wearing a tie for anybody. What did he call it? A surf rope, I think is what he called it. And he explained to me that...
Surf what?
A surf rope. And basically, and I was not aware of this, according to him, anyway, and I haven't researched it yet, so I can't say for sure, but according to him, the tie originally was just something for the master, the Lord, to hold on to while he whacked the crap out of the surf. And it just became like a social symbol for them to start wearing them. But that's what their original purpose was, and it's a sign of slavery. I was not aware of this. I mean, just, you know, you put on a nice tie to look nice. That's how I see it, and I think that's what it means today. But I had never heard that. And
it's an interesting term.
It's an interesting term. Surf. I'll have to double check on the name of it.
Surf rope.
If anybody out there can correct me on that, just let me know. Email me. Write to me. You know what the deal is. Comment on the damn blog. Don't be such a putz. Say something. I talk and I talk and I talk to you kids, and you never respond. You're never right. What's wrong with you? What did I do to deserve this? Hey, I sit here day in and day out. You never call. You never talk. I'm bitching and moaning again. What the hell are we talking about? Integrity.
Integrity, shamelessness.
Shamelessness. And, you know, they do this stuff because they get away with it. You know, Bill Clinton said that. They ask him why they do all this stuff. He said, because they get away with it. And as long as they continue to get away with it, they'll continue to do it.
What can we do?
Well, you can do small things like what we're doing, working with your local Democratic Party. I mean, this is so far over my head. I don't have this kind of skill that these people have to do the things that they do, to be a high-level wheeler dealer. I mean, I'm always broke. I never have any money. If I had tons of money, maybe I would donate it to people who could help. But you do what you feel is best. I mean, I'm working for the DeKalb County Democrats. You're working for the North Fulton Democrats. Not work in the sense of you're getting paid, but you're helping out. You're volunteering your time and effort, plus whatever other political issues. I do this show. That helps out a lot. Just whatever you can do. And if you're out there trying to figure out what you can do, then do the same thing. Take part in your local political organizations. Join the Democrats or join the Greens or don't join the Libertarians. Screw the Libertarians. But join the Greens or join the Democrats or join a political organization that's nonpartisan that's working towards a specific issue. Because the election reform issue that I'm working on is completely and totally nonpartisan. It's just looking for accurate elections here in Georgia. Or as accurate as we can possibly get and as fraud-free as we can possibly get. We know we're not going to get rid of it all.
Just get involved. Just get out there. You'll find out the issues. You'll learn a lot of things. You'll meet a bunch of interesting people. And if it sits with you well, stay involved.
Stay involved.
It's That's
good for you.
How the democracy works.
Get off
what
of
they
the computer.
Don't want us to do is to know too much.
That's right.
Right? They don't want us to be too involved. Otherwise, then democracy might actually work.
That's right. Get off of the computer. Get up off your ass. It's one thing to read the blogs and listen to shows like this, and I'm glad that you listen, and I love my listeners, and I think it's really great because I do absolutely no friggin' publicity for the show. How anybody even knows about it is beyond me. But go out there and do something. Get up off your ass and do something, damn it. Don't just sit there in front of the computer all day. Your mother and I talk to you all day in and day out. You get away from the computer. What's wrong with you? Go out and meet a nice girl or a nice guy or something. Go out. Have a pizza. Do something. You meshuga, you. I'm not Jewish. Why am I speaking like this?
What's a meshuga?
Crazy.
Oh, okay.
Meshuga means crazy. You never know that.
Never knew.
See,
that.
You're white bread, man. You're like a total.
I'm Southern.
You're an Anglo. You're a Southern Anglo.
We don't even know what putz is.
Oh, I know what a putz is.
We know what a putz is. We know what a putz is from TV.
Yeah.
And we know what do you call it when you're schlep over there?
Schlep. Well, there's
schlep. Schlep never made it south of the base of Dixon.
Well, no, but shows like Seinfeld made these phrases popular. Also, other shows. Someone explained to me the difference between a schlemiel and a schlemazel. A schlemiel is somebody who drops a bowl of soup, or a waiter who spills a bowl of soup. A schlemazel is the guy who, or the woman who dropped it. He dropped it on. That's how that goes. So I'm the schlemiel, and you're the schlemazel. I guess
so.
And we're all. We're all kind of schlemazled because we're having this stuff dropped on us all the time.
All the time. It's like nuclear waste from nowhere.
Nuclear. It's pronounced nuclear.
Nuclear. I can't even pronounce it that way.
Nuclear is the correct pronunciation,
nuclear, right?
but not the way George, he said nuclear. Nuclear. Then Homer Simpson had a line, nuclear. It's pronounced nuclear. And he worked at a power plant.
Aluminum, aluminium.
You know, one of the things I brought up. Because they make it so easy for guys like Bush. I mean, we talked about this in sports parlance his last show. And basically what the Republicans do is their team goes out and kicks everybody and the other team in the nuts. And while they're writhing around the floor, they give the ball to Bush and he runs across the end zone. And they praise him for what a great job he is. And all the press people are writing about, you know, how great he is when he didn't really do anything. Do you think George Bush could manage for 5 minutes without the entire huge political machine that he had built up behind him? Do you think he would let... You know, guys like Roosevelt and Truman, they could take over organizations like that and really run them. Guys like Bush are just puppets. Bush and Reagan is the same way. Reagan had a huge political machine behind him. And granted, he had been in politics before. He had a lot more experience in politics than George W. Bush had. And he had pulled.
He had a little bit of charm too.
Yeah, he had a little, and he was he was a good speaker. I mean, I admit that I like to listen to his speeches because they're always flowing and. He was a bullshit artist, but he was a damn good bullshit artist. I can even respect that to a certain extent. And he pulled some of the same shit. I mean, a lot of the people that are involved with the Bush campaign are the same people that are involved in fucking Iran-Contra. Who is the current ambassador to Iraq right now? John Negroponte. And what was he doing in Iran-Contra? He was involved in putting together the death squads that just basically went around killing people who didn't like the opposition
to
the Sandinistas in Nicaragua. And they're doing the same thing in Iraq. They're going to get together death squads to punish people who, because they aren't sufficiently helping the Americans with the counterinsurgency, with the insurgents. So is that how you get people to do what you want? You have more death squads going around the house. Now the people there are living in fear that maybe the insurgents are going to come to their house and kill them because they're not cooperating. They're cooperating with the Americans, or the Americans are going to come to their house and kill them because they're not cooperating enough with the Americans. It's a lose-lose situation.
And there's Iran.
And we're going after Iran next. And, you know, Iran has four times the population of Iraq.
Three times the geographical territory.
Right. And there's going to be no question. I mean, they might even have been able to make the bullshit case that they would welcome Americans with flowers in Iraq, having been suppressed by Saddam Hussein so much. There will be no such.
They're trying.
But the thing is,
they're thinking a surgical strike, and the people will rise up against the mullahs. It's absolutely absurd.
It is absurd.
All right, so you could go in there in the name of democracy, or maybe they go in there in the name of they suddenly become the sponsor of Al Qaeda.
I don't know. We have to bring this to a close because we're coming to an end. And you know,
it's been good.
We know the Iranians are next because they're just, you know, they're in the way, and that was part of the plan from the beginning, and they would have done it sooner if. The Iraq stuff had gone.
Well, we got them surrounded on three sides now.
That's all right. So, anyway, this is Joe Vecchio, and with Rick Lout.
Ramblin' Rick, Ravishing Rick. Ravishing Rick. What was it? Darth Vader?
Darth
Rick.
Rick.
Darth Rick. Whatever.
And we're gonna close this out here because we're coming to the end of another show, and it's been a good show, and it's been a good few shows because I like having the conversation. It makes the show go by a lot quicker. Again, this is Joe Vecchio from the Cup of Joe Radio, along with Rick and my friends at RantRadio.com, my friend Ben Birch from the White Rose Society, wishing you all a happy couple of days, and we will see you on Sunday. Bye.
Joe, I crave a plate of Dave. Open a jar of John. Don't put anything on. I'll chug a jug of George. I'll sip a mug of Doug with the creamer of Steve. How many more does that leave? Give me a pot of Scott. Heat up a pan of Stan. Throw in a handful of Dick. That'll do everything. Open a can of Dan. Make a meal of Sam. But don't give me no mug, 'cause what I really want's a cup of Joe.
The Cup of Joe Radio Show has been recorded live at the fabulous Studio Al in Decatur, Georgia, and has been produced by Jove Enterprises, Incorporated. Joe Vecchio, the host of the Cup of Joe Radio Show, is a production of Mr. and Mrs. Vecchio of Brooklyn, New York.
A plate of Dave, creamer of Steve. jug of Doug, a cup of